Okay, well, it looks like it's about that time to, I'd like to officially welcome everyone to our Platinum Health Products Wednesday night product education conference calls. We get together every Wednesday night to talk about health topics, to talk about health and nutrition, and basically we believe here at Platinum that education is power, and we want to provide you with tools and knowledge so you can make your own informed decisions about your health and improving the quality of life for yourself, your family, and for other friends and family members. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And my name is Amy Sandoval. I'm one of the owners and founders of Platinum Health Products, and we're really lucky to have with us each and every Wednesday night as the other owner and founder of Platinum Health Products, David Sandoval. He's been researching this topic a lot in the last several weeks, so he's got a lot of really good cutting-edge new information to share with us all about autism. So, Dave, are you with us tonight? Welcome to our call.
I definitely am here. It's a call I've been looking forward to, and a subject that's really close to Amy and my heart, because so many people we know have been touched personally by this problem.
Yeah, well, we've had many people ask us, can you do an autism battle plan? Can you do an autism call? It's something that myself personally, I didn't know that much about until I got into the subject matter. We hear it talked about, you know, on the news, or some celebrity may have a child and they're doing some activism on it. But it's something that's affecting way more people than I ever imagined before I started researching this subject. So may think this is a very narrow subject, but really, you listen to the call tonight, it is not a narrow subject. It is a widespread subject. So again, thank you everyone for taking the time to be on with us tonight. Before we get started, let me give a couple of announcements. If you'd like to re-access this call, if you're listening and you know someone that you think needs to hear this information, we make it pretty easy to re-access the call three ways. We have it on the replay line for a week starting tomorrow by calling 212-461-8911. Also, we'll have it posted on the website and the back office tomorrow starting in the afternoon. And if you have an email on file with us, we will email you out a web link. And what we suggest you do with that email is you forward it to anyone that you know that this information could be beneficial. So we try to make it as easy as possible for you to re-access the information, and we just hope that you will feel that it's compelling enough to pass it along. So with all that being said, let's jump right into the subject of the call. Again, April is Autism Awareness Month, and so we want to shed some light on it to people that may not be fully aware of what autism is. So Dave, can you tell us a little bit about what autism actually is?
Well, we wish that we knew exactly what autism is. We could only identify autism by its symptoms, because the medical community is still not completely in agreement. But autism is known as a severe behavioral disorder. Now, they say that it's a permanent behavioral disorder. However, I believe that permanent is a matter of perspective. It causes a defect in the development of the brain after birth. They don't believe it has a single cause or a single cure. The disease is characterized by an inability to communicate in a normal manner, speech patterns, the ability to speak, and even the ability to fully be aware of their own physical entity. In other words, the autistic person may only be aware of their body from their belly button up, from the part that they could easily touch with their hands. And any part below their belly button, below their waist, they oftentimes are not even aware that it exists, much less how to control it or how to relate to it. Some call it an intellectual retardation, an incapacity to develop social relationships. Autistic individuals show a pronounced unresponsiveness to love and affection, which is really, really disturbing to the parents when the child is not loving and affectionate. They often develop attachments to objects rather than human beings, like many times they have a favorite toy or a stuffed animal or even a living animal, which oftentimes could be dangerous because of their desire to squeeze whatever it is that they are attached to. Now, autistic cases occur in varying degrees of severity, Amy, as we've seen, with some extremely severe, which would border on, just almost like severe retardation versus mildly severe, which might allow someone to live an otherwise normal life just with certain challenges. So again, autism is different in almost every case, but what they do have in common is that behavioral disorder that is caused by a defect in the brain's development, and that's what all autistic children have in common.
Wow. Well, thanks for that explanation. I know there's been some really recent disturbing news regarding autism. Can you share with us what that news has been in the media lately about autism?
Well, when I first started studying autism, it was reported that there were 1 in 10,000 children were autistic. Today, and this is Amy, right now I'm almost shaking when I say this today, because I hadn't really thought about this and put it in perspective until you just asked me that question. Today, 1 in 100 boys and 1 in 150 girls that are born in the United States today are to some degree, many times severely, autistic and challenged in that way. And Amy, if this isn't a plague upon this nation, then I don't know what is.
Well, exactly. And I mean, it shows, like you've talked about before, like, and especially on your Healing Miracle with Green Foods tape, how our race, the human race, is on the precipice of extinction. And although this isn't, this may be, or could we construe this as a signal of something starting to go drastically wrong with the babies being born?
It is an absolute sign of the weakness of our DNA, and our DNA weakening, the slow erosion of our DNA. Our DNA is the genetic code that triggers the survival of our species. One generation giving birth to another generation, passing on the genetic code for survival. The basic need to survive is the same from the smallest microorganism to the largest dinosaur in history. That basic need to survive is passed on through the RNA, the DNA, depending on whether it's a plant or an animal, into the next generation. If that is increasingly weaker, like a signal to a radio, as you travel further from the antenna or further from the broadcast station, we are traveling further and further from a state of wellness that allows us to reproduce properly, and going from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 100, an increase of 1,000% is absolutely astounding.
So basically, I mean, what that says to me is we need to take, as women, or as of childbearing age, we need to take a look at ourselves, I think, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, what a woman of childbearing age that wants to have a baby can do. But I think just as a population, we need to take a look at ourselves, and we need to strengthen our bodies to produce healthy children.
Absolutely. It's a real responsibility that a lot of moms had taken advantage of, had taken for granted for years, that they were capable of giving birth to healthy children. Now, we need to really be conscious. It needs to be a conscientious choice as to how we treat ourselves in anticipation of childbirth. So, great point, Amy. Great point.
Yeah, we'll cover that in just a bit. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the causes of autism? And I just want to throw this out here in case maybe you've never known someone that's autistic, or maybe some of our listeners, haven't researched it or haven't heard too much about it. Rain Man. Do you remember the movie back maybe in the late 80s or early 90s, Rain Man with Tom Cruise? He was an autistic.
The first movie to really bring autism to the forefront.
Exactly. So if you're not 100% familiar what we're talking about, maybe that will, hone it in for you. So why don't we talk about some of the causes, the potential causes of autism, Dave?
Well, I've done a significant amount of research, and what I'm about to tell you is speculation, opinion, and conjecture, because the medical community does not approve of any official reason for autism, which is crazy, okay? But the number one thing that they notice is there is a dramatic decrease in serotonin activity in the central nervous system of the child. And that happens, again, after they're born. This is not a birth defect, okay? It's a behavioral disorder that develops when the child fails to develop after birth. There is a supposed genetic predisposition to developing the disease, which is why it's vitally important. Remember, a genetic predisposition is sort of like a lottery ticket.
Right.
It doesn't have to win. It only can win.
Exactly.
And if you take really good care of yourself, then genetics do not have to play out on that level.
Absolutely.
Viral infections during the development of the child. Food allergies that are basically feeding a child food early in its life that causes yeast infections and food allergies. A deficiency of digestive enzymes, fetal alcohol syndrome, lead poisoning, and of course, number one, numero uno, infant vaccinations. Shine the big light now, roll the drum. Infant vaccinations lead to lead poisoning, okay? The use of antibiotics in mothers lead to a deficiency of enzymes, yeast infections, and food allergies.
Right.
The decrease in serotonin activity in the central nervous system is directly related to the lack of essential fatty acids in the developing child's system. Genetic predisposition has to do with how the parents or how the mother and the father contribute genetic information. Is it strong or is it weak? So we can take each one of these one thing at a time, but I think when we talk about the foods that we're going to recommend for people, what I want to do is I want to tie them back to some of these things, but let's just get to the bottom line. I want to break this down. My research has shown that when a mother eats a poor diet in the years preceding the pregnancy, when the mother consumes alcohol or perhaps even over-the-counter legal drugs or illicit drugs, when the mother is overweight, out of shape, when the mother is depressed, there's reduction in serotonin levels in the mother's brain during the pregnancy. So it's vitally important that a expectant mother take steps to ensure, and so we're going to go to that later on in the program. So a weakened immune system, a weakened DNA combined with the early onset of yeast infections, food allergies, and enzyme deficiencies, combined with the increase of lead and, excuse me, the increase of heavy metals in the form of mercury, methyl and ethyl mercury that come in infant vaccinations, is the 1-2-3 punch that is almost guaranteed to be the causative factor in the development of autism. If you take the autistic children and work backwards and do some simple forensic reckoning, you are going to find these factors are going to be significant and common in the autistic children, which means that by taking care of yourself, by strengthening your immune system and being very careful about how and what you feed your child, you are going to be able to avoid these complications that we call autism.
Exactly.
Now, Amy, you've gathered some pretty interesting facts for people, and these are really, I think, in my opinion, this is important information for people to know. So would you mind taking a minute and just sharing with people the 5 or 10 little facts that you've gathered together that it could include the signs and symptoms? First, the facts that you should know, and then let's go on to signs and symptoms that you could start to notice in case you are the parent of a young child.
Absolutely. Well, the first fact is more than 500,000 people in the U.S. have autism. That's 500,000 people. That is that's a large group. Autism is the third most common developmental disorder. Autism is not caused by parental neglect as previously believed. That was the scientists and the doctors thought it was because parents were neglecting their kids that they were developing autism, and that has proved not to be true. Although some autistic individuals become self-sufficient or somewhat self-sufficient, most will require lifelong care. And we know what lifelong care does to our social services system and our welfare system. It's a huge financial burden that we bear as a country. Unfortunately, only 1 in 20 autistic children will ever show any improvement by adulthood. Typically, children with an IQ of above 50 can do moderately well, and some can attain normal adjustment with the appropriate therapy. Many children afflicted with autism show an extraordinary talent in a specific area, such as art, music, or mathematics. And again, that was, I think, if everybody will remember back to the Tom Cruise movie, Rain Man had his specific, you know, talents that he could do, you know, in his head and his mind.
He was a very good driver.
He was a very good driver. Some of the signs and symptoms you can look out for as a parent as your child is developing. Language disorders, mental retardation may be a precursor or a sign of autism. Compulsive behaviors, self-destructive behaviors, hyperactivity, auditory hypersensitivity, profound social despondency, low birth rate, parrot-like repetition of words or phrases just as spoken, and irrational outbursts and paranoia. So these are things that, you know, an infant, you're not going to notice this too much in an infant, but as your child develops, these are things that you can definitely look for and be on the lookout for as signs and symptoms of autism. So let's talk a little bit about, Dave, what if you are a woman of childbearing age and you're looking to get pregnant, you want to get pregnant, you're planning this. I know that a lot of people don't have this luxury, but some people do. What can we do, what can women do to prepare their bodies to have a healthy child and to minimize the risk of having a child that will develop autism?
Well, I think the first thing, Amy, is a detoxification. I think that if the mother's going to consider getting pregnant, or even if she just found out she is pregnant, she's going to easily have a couple of 3 weeks that she could use to go through a nice detoxifying diet. And this would include recommendations that we have even on the website, like the fast or the superfoods for supermodels.
Right. I wouldn't necessarily recommend a pregnant mom fast, but you can definitely use the fasting program along with food. Is that what you're
suggesting? That's exactly what I meant. It's like the fasting protocols.
The fasting protocols
are very great at detoxifying the body. You can use our herbal fiber cleanse, our daily fiber blend, which are going to detoxify the organs and the blood and the colon. And then you could have the Superfoods for Supermodels program, which is going to provide the body with all of the core nutrients it needs while eliminating toxins. And this is vitally important. The second thing is to begin to build immune building factors in your body, immune boosting factors. So taking flax seeds, for example, is going to boost the amount of omega-3s. Omega-3s are brain foods. They're very important for the development of the IQ of the child. In fact, omega-3 fatty acids have been shown to nearly double the IQ of children. Low birth weight babies, very bad. Obviously, one of the causative factors. What happens? Why are there low birth rate babies? Why are there premature births? Well, mostly because of nutrient deficiencies within the mother and poor health of the mother. If you exercise, if you eat right, if you eat flax seeds for essential fatty acids, if you take our power shakes with spirulina and carrot juice and tocotrienols from the rice bran solubles and the superoxide dismutase from the activated barley and all of the detoxifying chlorophyll and enzymes, they say that enzyme deficiencies are a trigger for which the enzyme deficiencies are part of the food allergies. When the baby fails to digest the food properly, so you have to, as a mother, have really good food in your body. That really good food is going to produce really abundant breast milk, and that breast milk is going to be loaded with the immune system precursors. That includes things like, for example, colostrum. In addition to colostrum, you have the monolaurin. in addition to the monolaurin, you have the fatty acid compounds, and all of these fats and proteins and nutrients and immune boosting factors like immunoglobulin and lactoferrin, all of these are going to come in the breast milk for the baby. And this is vitally important. So the mother needs to detoxify early on. She needs to fortify her body, boost her own ability to give the proper birth rate and the term and the nutrients. And then, perhaps most importantly, Amy, breastfeeding. And I mean breastfeeding nothing but mother's milk for 9 months to a year. I know how difficult this is, but it is going to guarantee that your baby start their life with the maximum. You're going to eat right, and you are going to make sure the only food that child gets is the food that is truly the highest quality, because you could digest food your baby won't be able to at that age. So you're going to have to eat high amounts of the highest potency foods and have those nutrients get converted into breast milk and passed into your baby's body, into their brain, into their muscles, into their developmental tissue, into the virtually into the nerve endings and the growth factors of your baby. And so this is vitally important, perhaps the most important thing. And then, Amy, do not, and I can't, do not ever get a large group of vaccinations. I strongly suggest that you speak to your doctor and request that there are no vaccinations done until the child is 5 years old or older. 5 years old or older. The development of the child, of the fetus in the womb, followed by the post-birth development, is at least 3 to 4 years of post-birth fetal development. In other words, of the brain and the connective tissue and the growth factors within the bone tissue. All of these things are not fully developed until the child is 3 to 4 years old. And so that means there should be no lead or mercury or toxic matter introduced into that child through these vaccinations until after that full development has taken place. Absolutely. I feel very strongly about this. You need to advise with your doctor. But by law, there is nothing they can do to stop you from doing this.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we jumped a little bit ahead, so let me just recap. If you are a woman that's looking to get pregnant or planning to get pregnant, we highly suggest that you detoxify your body. Something Dave didn't really touch on is if you have candida, get that candida under control before you get pregnant. Use a probiotic blend, alkalize the body. We have a whole candida battle plan. But you want to cleanse, you want to detoxify, you want to get your body in optimal working condition, basically. Like if you're, you know, a race car driver and you're about to go, you know, run this race, you want to put the best oil, the best gas, you want to have all the proper fluids in that car. Well, you're about to go on the journey of a lifetime when you're pregnant. So you've got to make sure that everything is functioning optimally if you have the chance to do that. We know that not everyone has the luxury to plan to have a baby. So what happens if it's just, Dave, a surprise and just, you know, I'm 2 months into it and I'm 2 months late and I'm pregnant and I haven't been cleansing and I haven't detoxified and I've been eating, you know, the typical American diet? What would a person like that do? Because there's a whole lot of women that find themselves in that kind of situation. Because it's not too late. It's never too late. That's what we want to stress. It's never too late to start doing something good for you and your baby.
You know, one thing you could do is immediately stop consuming wheat substances. You could stop consuming white sugar and dairy. These are really, really important for the mother to stop the use of those things. Avoid all junk food. Sugar and sugary foods which contain white flour and chemical additives. You have to really look at no chemical colorings, no artificial colorings and no artificial flavorings. These are really, really bad. They stay in your body for a long time. They could enter the brain of your baby. You need to make sure that your water is totally purified so there could be no lead or any, you know, any metals in your water. Regular exercise is really, really important. And consuming foods that aid in liver detoxification, like foods like garlic and onions and eggs, are really good at helping detox the liver. Soluble fibers, you know, like oat bran and legumes, like are really, really important. and eating, you know, eating again those cabbage family things that also contain sulfur. In addition to garlic and onions, try broccoli and Brussels sprouts, cabbage, artichokes, beets, carrots, dandelions, turmeric, cinnamon, and licorice. These things are all going to help detoxify the body, but they're not going to hurt you while you're pregnant. So I see what you're asking. How are people going to deal with it if they don't have time to prepare? And just by adding these foods to their diet and eliminating certain foods from their diet, they're going to do just fine.
Absolutely. And then always, and I think the foods that you want to add for any pregnant mother would definitely be the flax seeds. Is that correct?
Yeah. Why don't, Amy, why don't you sort of go down, like, if you want to, and sort of explain the nutritional supplements that you and I recommend, and maybe give a short explanation. Start with the flax seeds, and if you need me to pitch it, of course I will. But why don't we start with the flax seeds and explain what is it in those flax seeds that is so vitally important, and why don't we recommend just flaxseed oil?
Well, basically, with flax seeds, it's the essential fatty acids, the omega-3 that you need that will contribute to the brain function of your baby, to build the connections in the brain of your baby. And so that is most important, I think, in the second and third trimester, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. What happens is the myelin sheath of your nerve endings is completely protected and coated by omega-3 fatty acid. It is the protection, almost like the plastic around wire, you know, like it, when you have an electrical wire, the plastic that's around it. That's what the omega-3 fatty acids do. And as we get pregnant, as that those nerve endings wear down, they stop the developmental aspect of your baby's brain. They literally interrupt the passing of brainwave information from you to your baby, and it lowers the IQ. So, Amy, you're absolutely right. It is the omega-3 fatty acids. Now, those are in flaxseed oil. Why don't we just recommend that women go out and drink flaxseed oil?
You know, because the lignans, the immune-boosting lignans, are not in flaxseed oil. Sometimes it says that they're fortified, but basically they just throw a little in at the end and they sink to the bottom and we never actually even get the benefit of the lignans. So we believe that Platinum Health Products and a whole food supplement with all the cofactors and all the micro and macro nutrients and phytochemicals in the foods. And so we believe that you take the whole golden flaxseed, the whole golden organic flaxseed, and you grind it just prior to use, and that is the most efficient way to get the omega-3s in your diet.
Exactly. Now, there's a soluble fiber in flaxseeds called beta-glucan that actually eliminates toxins from your body, and so it will help in the detoxification. And then there is a non-soluble fiber, as she mentioned, called lignan. And lignan has been proven to be more effective than tamoxifen at stopping women from developing breast tumors. So for a pregnant woman whose breasts are going to grow significantly, many times that growth, that cell growth in the breast tissue is a precursor, is one of the causative factors for the development of, for the development of breast cancer later in life. And so there's three major benefits to come from eating flax seeds, not just the flaxseed oil. And so what else, Amy? What other products?
Well, basically, we need to talk about, like, what women can do, go through that very quickly, and then get on to what we can do for people that actually have autism. So basically, we've talked about the flax seeds are very important for pregnant women. We would highly recommend the Power Shake. That we've talked about on many of the calls. It's on the Superfoods for Supermodels plan. It's on the fasting plan. It's got your spirulina, your activated barley. It's got your rice bran solubles. It's got your carrot. It's got your green organic kamut blend in it. And that is just going to give you overall whole food nutrition that's very easy for your body to digest and assimilate. And then we highly recommend you supplement that with flax seeds to get the oil, as well as perhaps taking the Master Amino Complex to get high-quality, easy, digestible protein that you can utilize yourself and feed the baby's, you know, nourishment needs. So those are things that are essential, in our opinion, that a pregnant mother can do just to to feel great yourself, to, you know, things that are, it's also going to do, it's going to help with stretch marks, it's going to help with constipation problems, it's going to help with anemia, it's going to help with a lot of the things that the typical symptoms or problematic things that you experience when you're pregnant. So just you're getting your body in tip-top condition, you're feeding it the best things that you can, and ultimately you're going to have a lot less side effects and symptoms.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that's very important is that they have the coconut oil, because the coconut oil has the monolaurin and the caprylic acid, and that's going to be really, really good for helping, really, really good for helping people to raise the immune system of their children. So let's make sure you get the coconut oil into your diet before you breastfeed. But let's get on and say, what can we do for our children once we know that they have autism, or what could we do early in their life to help them potentially avoid it?
Exactly. Well, let's talk quickly about a diet, what we can do with the foods that we eat. And basically, as we mentioned before, and a lot of these things are they're common sense. They're the same things, they're similar things that we mentioned that the pregnant mother should do, and that's eliminate food allergens. Get rid of white sugar, white flour, get rid of wheat, get rid of dairy, get rid of any type of food allergens. You can also have your child and yourself tested for food allergens. Get rid of those things that you are allergic to.
Absolutely. I think that that's an important step. And in addition to that, obviously, we want to make sure that no heavy metals are accumulating in the baby of the child, you know, in the baby of the child. So once the child is at least 2 years old, I strongly recommend that you begin to mix some chlorella into their milk, into their formula, or into whatever it is that they're drinking, and have that, which is an excellent chelation to help detox heavy metals, and that definitely has been shown to dramatically improve autistic behavior patterns. I believe that you need to add chlorella every day, like a quarter teaspoon to a half teaspoon, to the liquids that the child is drinking, and get them on that detoxification sort of pattern.
Well, let's continue on with the diet for the child that may have autism. Avoid all junk foods. Any foods containing white flour or chemical additives. You want to make sure you only give your child purified water. You want to make sure that they get regular exercise to get their lymph moving and to get things moving in their body. And make sure that you're feeding them foods that aid in detoxification, like Dave mentioned before, the high sulfur foods. That they're getting plenty of fiber, that they're eliminating properly, that they're getting a full range of fruits and vegetables to get antioxidants and phytochemicals. So this is common sense, but sometimes we don't think about it. We should not be feeding our two-year-old McDonald's. that's definitely not on the list. You know, we need to go lower on the food chain, pick whole foods. To feed them whole grains, soluble fibers, things like that. And if we have several supplements, like the high ORAC veggie or the best of grains, it's a great way to make sure that you're getting those sulfur family vegetables in the diet. Also, activated barley is a great thing for children as well, to make sure they're getting those whole grains and soluble fibers. So diet, it's whole food diet, clean, as organic as possible, eliminating chemicals and chemical additives in the food, and any type of allergens from the diet as well. So
absolutely, Amy, that's a really, really good point that, you know, sometimes it's what you don't season that has as big of a problem. Remember, you got to avoid candida in this young child. You have to, make sure that they're eating enough raw food to where they have a lot of enzymes being contributed to the body, not cooked food all the time and processed food. Things without sugars, that's really, really important. Maybe another thing that you may want to do, again, is
to look at the child and their environment. You know, make sure that they're not being exposed to things that they could put into their mouth, that they could, you know, things that you don't realize that, you know, aren't even considered food, but the child's sucking on a penny, you know, or a nickel or something, and there's these heavy metals that are added to coins. So, you know, sucking on your keys, you know, there's shavings on the keys that are microscopic. Every time you put it into your door, it scrapes off a little bit. And if you took a magnet and ran it across your keys, you'd see that there's little filings that will come off. Well, that's going into your baby if you let him suck on your keys. And, you know, I see that all the time. So
exactly.
Just be really careful about what you put your baby put into its mouth, especially plastics and metals.
Exactly. Well, let's move on to nutritional supplements. We've talked about the foods, but what can we do, what can we give our children to supplement if they, if we're trying to prevent autism from coming, and if they have autism, what perhaps can moderate their autistic behavior. And the first thing that you mentioned a while ago was chlorella. Chlorella is an excellent heavy metal detoxifier, and it's been shown to dramatically improve autistic behavior. So chlorella is definitely something that we would want to give to a child with autism or an adult with autism. Flax seeds and spirulina contain high essential fatty acids, high amounts of essential fatty acids that can improve the brain function and the learning in autistic children. It's going to, and Dave can explain this a little bit more, elaborate a little bit more, it's going to do what it was doing when the child was developing in the mother's womb. It's going to continue, the essential fatty acids are going to continue to help with brain function as the child is maturing.
Absolutely, and you could also use spirulina, which is a very high source of omega-3 fatty acids as well. So both chlorella and spirulina, in addition to flax seeds, are going to contribute some fatty acid profiles to your baby's diet.
And so we recommend about a half a cup of fresh flax seeds ground daily, and you can
now,
add them.
Now, yeah, that's like for a mother.
Oh.
However, for the child, like one tablespoon.
Oh, a tablespoon.
Maybe one tablespoon after it's been ground, so about two tablespoons pre-ground.
So, like two tablespoons for a small child.
Correct.
Okay, cool. And then how much spirulina would you recommend?
I like a teaspoon.
For a small child.
Right.
Okay, cool. Also, then the master amino complex feeds the brain proteins that moderate erratic behavior. So how many master aminos would you recommend for a child?
Well, what's going to happen is we're going to have to find out whether the child could actually swallow tablets. You know that for my little girl, when she was young, I had to break the tablets into like thirds because they're sort of big. I'd break them like the tips off and then leave the middle, and she'd be able to swallow those. Otherwise, I've seen people just grind them and put them into a smoothie, and I would recommend two tablets a day for every 25 pounds of body weight. So if the child's 50 pounds, it'd be four tablets a day.
Two tablets for every 25 pounds?
Yeah, or one tablet for every 12 and a half pounds.
Okay, awesome. Also, you know, we mentioned spirulina. Let's just mention again that the spirulina contains B6, a wide range of B vitamins. So that is really, that really helps with the behavior modification as well.
Absolutely. B vitamins are great. We found for, mental sort of control. It calms people down. B vitamins are known to both be energizing as far as providing the mitochondria energy, but also calming as it relates to nerve endings. So B vitamins are really, really important, and the spirulina is has a wide range of them, as does the rice bran solubles, which is another important aspect of basic nutrition.
Exactly. Exactly. Then also we have listed the C from Nature. A natural vitamin C product has shown to significantly reduce the symptoms of autistic behavior as well.
Absolutely, and we recommend taking the C from Nature for children, opening up the capsule, putting it into some type of a liquid format so that they, again, at that young age, may not be able to swallow those things as well.
Exactly. Now, we also recommend the cherry just because of its super high ORAC value and antioxidant load. So we are talking earlier about in the diet to make sure you're getting whole foods to get, you know, the nutrients and phytochemicals. Well, your Apopa cherry is going to be really the highest nutritionally potent, antioxidant potent fruit that you can get your hands on.
Exactly. There is nothing really that is more powerful as an antioxidant in a single format, easy for the child to take. It is mild tasting, and it will definitely clean out the free radicals and the different toxins that are sitting in your body's tissue or your baby's body's tissue, and that's really important.
And then last but certainly not least is the Ionic Element. Are one of the newer products in our Platinum Health Products line of products, and the reason we recommend the Ionic Elements for an autistic child or adult is because of the rich load of magnesium that it's going to deliver. So how do you want to elaborate a little bit on the Ionic Elements and the magnesium in relation to autistic behavior?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Amy, because magnesium is responsible for all of the involuntary muscle reactions. And this is really important for the autistic child because, again, it will help create the communication network within the body is going to be enhanced with magnesium. And it is really important for the autistic child that they don't have a lot of spastic muscle movements.
Exactly. So sometimes you even hear of like uncontrollable physical fits, and the magnesium might help with that kind of like involuntary muscle reaction.
Absolutely, Amy. And you know, the one thing is, every little bit that could help is important, but we find that the increase in brainwave activity triggered by minerals is really significant. And so if you can increase that brainwave activity clearly to the benefit of the child, there's no reason why you wouldn't. And it's so easy to incorporate the minerals into the diet because they're basically tasteless and easy to administer. Why don't you explain to people the best way that they might, you know, give these minerals to their child?
Well, I would highly recommend putting it in the cherry juice at night before your child goes to bed. You know, if you mix up like a tablespoon or 2 tablespoons with 8 ounces of water, I would put 20 drops in that glass and have them drink it down, and they won't be able to taste it. It'll definitely calm and relax them.
Well, that's a great idea. And what about maybe adding it to the water and chilling it in the refrigerator? Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. Because we are all so mineral deficient, so you could definitely add it to your water that you give to your child to drink. You could even mix it in your power shake that you make, or if you make a spirulina smoothie, you can add the minerals into almost anything.
Excellent. And now for those people out there who, you know, think, well, this call isn't really, you know, germane to me because I'm not going to bear kids or something like that, I want to let you know that this information may be important to your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, or just friends of the family. So please do your best to, you know, pass this on if you can to others so that they could be aware of it. And it really is an important issue facing our country today, and the more awareness that we could bring to it, obviously, the better. And this is The Autism Awareness Week, I believe, or is it Awareness Month, Amy?
I believe it's Autism Awareness Month. And so you're probably going to be hearing more about it in the news and things like that. And so we just wanted to bring some awareness to it and some awareness to what you can do to prevent it or to moderate the effects of it if you have a child that's suffering with this condition. I know we're running tight on time, but why don't you talk a little bit, Dave, about some of the behavioral therapy and some of the alternative treatments, not necessarily nutritional or supplemental, but things that we can do, counseling or behavior modification that you've learned about.
Well, as Amy mentioned, in our research, we've found that nutritional supplements are only a small part of the puzzle. That the major benefit that comes from the autistic child is early detection, followed by intensive auditory training. That means having a coach working with them day after day, hour after hour, week after week, and month after month. Sometimes 8 years worth of 8 hours a day worth of auditory training. Now, obviously, this isn't inexpensive. And so there are ways that parents can be taught. They could go to courses and learn to administer this training themselves. But this is the most important thing. Now, Amy, we've got a list. If you can't afford an auditory therapist, we've got a list of some holistic things that can be done that could stimulate the child, much like having an auditory coach. Would you share some of those secrets with people as well?
Well, we've talked about stimulation with movement, colors, sound.
And we're talking about, believe it or not, like roller coasters for kids, fast moving things that force their eyes to focus and to grasp and to be able to, you understand what I mean? Challenge their ability.
Exactly. Also introducing them to impressionistic art as well as classical music has shown beneficial.
Absolutely. And again, because classical music has been shown to normalize brainwave patterns. Remember,
mm-hmm,
Amy?
Mm-hmm. I remember in some movie, and I've seen it, like they say, like mom should listen to classical music or play classical music for their babies to calm them down. So that has been like out there, for a while, and looks like it's coming up again with autistic children as well.
Now, we also talked about stimulative color therapy.
Exactly. As well as a parent having a firm hand, a firmly structured environment, a purposeful education program can be really beneficial in these cases.
Explain what you mean by the highly structured home environment.
I think you have to let your child know that you are the one in control. You have a schedule. We eat at this time. We go to bed at this time. We take a bath at this time. And we're not deviating from the schedule. And I think some of the problems of kids today, whether they're autistic or not, is the child rules the parent. The parent doesn't rule the child. So I think that having a firmer hand of a more structured schedule with the child proves very beneficial, especially in cases of autistic children.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. My bad.
Oh, I just said that, the firm schedule, we take a bath at this time, we go to bed at this time, we eat at this time, a schedule, and we don't deviate too much from the schedule, it proves very beneficial for autistic children.
Yeah, especially early on, like when they're just teach them structure, and that way they get used to it, make them perceive structure. Just like so, a lot of stimulation, classical music, movement, bright lights. Even believe it or not, watching you play video games could be an important adjunct to helping them develop things that do hand-eye coordination. Try to roll the ball to them. Make them roll it back as early as you can. Begin to perceive your child's ability. If you notice some behavioral patterns that are consistent with the things that Amy told you to look out for, see a specialist right away and find out, because early treatment is also important. Early detection could make a difference. So In other words, the faster you start acting, the better.
Exactly. And one other alternative treatment, and then we'll probably open up the phones for questions after we give some summation, is craniosacral therapy. And craniosacral therapy is a massage technique. It's a treatment that manipulates the bones of the skull and the underlying membranes, which can alleviate pressure and restrictions. Craniosacral involves light touch, hands-on therapy that seeks to improve the range of motion in the brain, spinal cord, and surrounding membranes, as well as the bones of the skull and the spine. Craniosacral therapy has shown to produce marked improvements in autistic behavior. And craniosacral, you can find massage therapists in your local community that practice that. And you, as parents of an autistic child, I would highly recommend getting a book on craniosacral therapy, going to a craniosacral class. You may not become certified, you may not be a licensed massage therapist, but you can practice this on your child. There's many resources and references on the internet. There's many massage schools that you could maybe just pick up one class or two classes or learn from your local massage therapist in your area.
Exactly.
So that pretty much takes us through our battle plan. You know, I hope that we shared a lot of meaningful information because this is a very serious problem. But there is hope, and you know, we do the best we can, and with nutrition and giving the right nutrients to our body, our bodies are amazing things, and our bodies will respond. And so that's what we're just trying to spread the message and give a little explanation how these superfoods can impact an autistic child or an autistic person to help improve their behavior and their quality of life, ultimately.
Absolutely. And, you know, and take a stand for your children and do not subject yourselves to government-mandated guidelines on these vaccinations, because you've got nothing to lose. You really have nothing to lose by waiting.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let me remind everyone, if you'd like to re-access this call, and we'll do this before we open up the phone lines for questions, you can re-access this call by the replay line. It'll be available starting tomorrow by calling 212-461-8911. If you missed last week's call about ionic elements, you have one last night to catch it by calling 212-461-8911 before the new call goes on tomorrow. Also, the call will be posted on the website and the back office starting tomorrow. And if we have your email address on file, we will email you out a web link where you can click on it, play it right there on your computer via your media player, or you can forward that along to friends or family members that might benefit from this really important information. So please share the information, if you're compelled to anyone that may be of childbearing age or may have a child, child or grandchild that may be suffering with autism. So we think that there's a lot of information that could really be helpful. Did you have any closing comments, Dave, before we opened up the phones for questions?
No, I think that was really, I think that was great. I think that we just want to help as many people as we can.
Awesome. Okay. I did want to, my last announcement, I apologize, before we open up the phone, next week we'll be back same time, same place. The topic of next week's call is overcoming addiction. It's also Addiction Awareness Week, I believe, and alcohol and drug addiction awareness. So we're going to be going over the battle plan again on anti-addiction or overcoming addiction. So we hope that you'll join us next week. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone line. So if anyone has a question, please go ahead and ask.
Also, just one last announcement, Amy, is about if you have anybody who's in the Southern California area, we do have a presentation, a free lecture, if you would, taking place in Pasadena, California. If you have anybody on the West Coast who'd like to get out here to that event, just give us a call at the office and we'll give you more information. Amy, sorry to have interrupted. Take it away.
Oh, no problem. Also, the information about that live event in Pasadena is on the website. If you go to phporder.com and check out the calendar of events, if you'd like to check that out. So, okay, any questions out there tonight? Any questions at all?
Well, we want to thank everybody for having joined us, and we know that this is a subject that doesn't really lend itself to a lot of questions. So, Amy, you did a fantastic job tonight, as usual.
I have a question.
Okay. Sure.
It's Lori.
Hi, Lori.
I am writing, so I just have to concentrate writing home from work. My niece is sick, and she's all the way in Romania, and I think you hear me about, and Dave also knows about. I bought from her, and I sent to Romania all from the battle plan, like the Master Amino, the Rembrandt Soluble, she takes the More Greens, and she takes Sea from Nature. Right now I send also the Ionic Element. I don't know how it's working in her, that, but I'm trusting that will work fabulous too. And I could see that my sister said that since we incorporate all this, like Master Amino and then Rice Bran Soluble, she is doing really well. You know, she has her crisis like every other autistic child. She's behaving very well. But the most important is, like, even if she's 30 years old, brain and the concentration is coming along more than ever, you know.
Wow.
So she's 30, you know, so I know that must be the Master Amino combination with the other supplements from the Platinum Health. And even
need
though
to get the minerals to her. Did you mention the minerals, Lori?
Yeah, she said she just sent the Ionic Element.
I sent it
awesome.
Like maybe arrived maybe 4 or 5 days ago, so I didn't have time to check how she behaves, but I told my mom to give it to her. That would be incredible for her, for the magnesium. So anyway, everybody has to order that battle plan and just to order the products and to help everybody around, because it's just the most amazing battle plan and the most concentrated, like, where you have to do, what you have to do at any age for the autistic children. For years I was just checking different companies and vitamins for autistic children, and it's not even close to what Platinum Health can offer. So that is just amazing. So thank you, Dave and Amy, for being so thoughtful, so kind, so passionate to put together all this for these amazing people.
Well, thank you, Flory. We really appreciate that.
Yes, thank you very much. And as I was saying, I just feel so privileged to be involved in a company with such amazing people that I get to work with every day. One of those is Amy, who has dedicated her life and really has adopted the dream of mine to change this world and to make it a better place for people. She has become an amazing spokesperson and mouthpiece for this organization. I want to thank her for being with us every single Wednesday. I know that so many of us look forward to the friendly voice and the knowledge that she brings to this call. So, Amy, thank you so much for your contributions. I know the company is in a growth phase. It is in a expansion that is just unprecedented in our history. And I just want to thank everybody listening for helping us to spread the word. We're an education-oriented company dedicated to helping people improve the quality of their lives through knowledge, through the power that knowledge offers, through nutrition, through nature, and God, and the gift that God has put on this earth. And so I want to thank all of you, and again, just with a special emphasis on my thanks to Amy and her contribution to the success of this company. And so again, Amy, thank you very much, and we look forward to next Wednesday. And what will our subject matter be then?
We are going to be talking about overcoming addiction. We did that call several months ago, and there was such great response for it. We've been asked to do it again in honor of Alcohol Awareness Week. We decided that it would be a good time to share that information again.
Absolutely. And if you know how many amazing stories we've already had on our Overcoming Addictions Battle Plan, and it's heartwarming. I mean, Amy, you know that I grew up in a neighborhood where overcoming addictions, perhaps the number one challenge after eating.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people chose their addiction over food. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I really believe that we're being drawn, you know, back into that world to help these people from our youth, and that many people even coming from the nice middle-class neighborhood you came from, drug addictions and drug afflictions were not so uncommon, were they?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So it's a this subject is very germane to, you know, the public, and we've had, you know, great testimonials that we'll be really excited to share with you next week about the overcoming addictions.
Fantastic. Well, any final words, Amy Lynn?
I just want to say thank you for taking your time to be with us tonight with all the awesome information that you've gathered. I know this is a subject that touches your heart, and we really appreciate and see that. So thank you, Dave, and thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. I hope everyone has a wonderful evening.
Well, you know, Amy, you know my brother Roman is one of my heroes. He married a woman with a Down syndrome child.
Right.
And 20 years of his life have been dedicated morning, noon, and night to that child's survival, to her wellness, to her happiness, to eating and sleeping and being dressed and going to the bathroom and everything. And so I know what absolute amazing strength of character it takes for these parents, and so I just want to send out my love and my heartfelt, you know, understanding and empathy to them. And if there's any little thing that Amy and I have done tonight to make your lives just that much easier, then we hope that it will work for you. And again, our prayers and our empathy truly go out to you, and so much love also for those children and for what the future could hold.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Well, good night, everybody.
Great. Good night. Everybody have a wonderful evening.